Grab your coat and get your hat.
Yeah, especially leave that your coat. You're gonna need that coat.
On the doorstep.
You need that coat.
Just direct your feet.
Direct those feet.
To the sunny side of the street.
The new forecast low for Saturday night is zero.
And that happy tune is your step.
Cold weather joke time.
Life can be so sweet.
So sweet.
On sunny side of the street.
A lot of people think this is Willie Nelson, but it's really me.
Really?
Yeah,
put those blues on parade.
Same boy, see?
But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Kid, you tried your best, and you failed miserably. The lesson is, never try.
That's right. It's good advice. Good advice, Homer. You're a good dad. Never try, you'll never fail.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet.
On
the sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Gather around. It's going to be a fun day today. This is your break from talk about ISIS and politics and who's going to run for president and all that stuff. There's enough of that. We're going to deal with nonsense today. Nonsense and then some just interesting things. And then we're going to give some stuff away. And we will today and tomorrow tell our two cold weather jokes. The two jokes we only tell once a year when we think it's about as cold as it's going to be. And it's out. And they always say the suburbs because concrete and structures hold heat. So when you get out of the city, when I go out to Wildwood, In the summer, when it's, let's say, 90, it's 6 to 8 degrees cooler out at my house because of the trees and the, you know, not a lot of concrete and structure out there. So how's everybody doing today? Pian, you okay?
Good.
Dan, you okay?
I'm fine. Great.
You're awfully quiet today.
I am.
How's it going, Frank?
Oh, it's going great. Thanks for asking, yeah. Mike. I'm fine, too. Awfully quiet today. Everything okay? I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I came
your ex-wife still in jail?
You know what? As far as I know, I haven't heard.
You think she'll be executed like that guy this morning?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that.
You sound broken up about it.
I know. No, it came from, a lot of us went to, Minnie P's funeral today. That's,
oh boy.
Minnie P's funeral was, earlier.
Yeah, well, that's, sad and depressing.
Yeah, yeah. But I do have something for the Burke segment.
Well, I'm just about to do the Burke segment. It goes something like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. Dan Strauss, everybody.
So a lot of us from the station were at the funeral today. McGraw-Milhaven comes walking in, and he is he was a little late because he got a ticket on the way.
Not good.
To the church, and he got a ticket for being on his cell phone in Illinois.
Oh.
From the SIU Police Department.
You think
I guess
he pulled that "Do you know who I am?" thing?
Oh,
I'm sure he did.
You know he did.
Yeah.
And you know the guy said, "No, I've never heard of you."
No.
Yeah. Do you ever watch 11.2?
Yeah.
I'm the face.
Yeah. I'm the face of 11.2.
Yeah.
No, he probably did that.
I'm sure.
That probably made him mad when the guy looked at the license and didn't go, "Hey, so you're McGraw." He just went, what is his last name? Milhaven? That bothered him.
Yeah, I drove over to Illinois last night. I don't think I would have known not to talk on my phone. I don't remember hearing.
Well, some states, several states, you can be on a hands-free, you can be a Bluetooth or on the speakerphone, but if you're holding that phone up, they'll pull you over. And did he say how much, or does he know?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He didn't say. But you know, in Illinois also,
if he's listening, I think it's $10,000.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
In Illinois also, you cannot throw cigarette butts out of your window.
Well, good.
If you're
you
driving
be
down
able
the
to.
Street.
I can't stand that when a spark lit flaming cigarette comes out of a window and it's my car. I hate that.
Yeah. So you can't do that. If they see you doing that, they can pull you over and give you a ticket, and it's something like it's an astronomical fine, like a $400 or $500 fine for doing that.
Good.
And I had something else, and I cannot remember
You've done this before.
I know.
This is becoming a concern. Regular,
I had the McGraw thing, and then the cigarette butt thing, and then there was something else, but I can't
think of it.
You'll
think of it about 6:03 today.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
So is that all you have?
Yeah, that's all.
Any pee on anything?
I don't have anything today.
Let's shut her down. Close it. Burke segment's officially closed. They did execute Walter Timothy Story today at 12:01. This is the guy who murdered a neighbor. And the details were your typical. He ran out of beer and he ran out of money. So he broke into this woman's house to steal money and she confronted him and he slit her throat. Now,
yeah, deep enough, I think.
Hit the spine.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, normally, I've said this before. When there's any doubt, I'm not for the death penalty. When there's absolutely no doubt, and I was listening, reading some of the defense attorney's comments, and nowhere in there did they say he didn't do it. It's not about whether or not he did it. It's the part where, and this is becoming almost laughable. They do it so much that as a child.
Breaking you up. Even.
He was abused and beaten as a child. Well, yeah. I read that and then I changed my mind. I thought, let him go. Because, and how do you prove that? It seems to me that's becoming much too common. Well, as a child, he was abused. Now, how do you prove that? Is there video of him? It just seems to me like something to say to justify horrible behavior.
Well, and I like that, too, where he was trying to get a stay of execution because of the...
He didn't want to be in pain.
Execution drugs, yes. They were afraid he may be in pain from the drugs they used to execute you.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, not a lot of people, some people, think that, first of all, killing anybody for any reason is wrong. Well, that's ridiculous. Some people deserve to be dead. And the other is the people who are so concerned with whether or not the guy might have some discomfort. If I ruled the United States, it would be mandatory that there be discomfort. When you do something like this or you molest a child, we're going to administer something that's going to make you pray that you'll die soon, now, because you can't stand it so much. It'll be torturous. If, in fact, we know without any doubt, let's say you admitted it and you took us to the body of the child. Okay, you're going to be executed, and not only am I not interested in whether or not there's pain, I want it to be very painful, and I want you to experience. In fact, sometimes I think you should die the way you kill people. They should slit his throat. Now, that sounds horrible to some people. Some people go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm sorry. That's part of the problem we have is that there's no deterrent to criminals. Because if you do commit the most heinous crimes, the worst that can happen is we feed you and give you cable television and put you on death row for 26 years. And then we give you a sedative before, and they do, before they have to calm you down so you won't be so nervous about it. And then we put you on this nice, clean cot thing, nice, clean, fresh sheets, and very gently put you to sleep forever. I think that's ridiculous. I think you deserve worse than that. I'm for hanging till you kick and squirm and die, firing squad, hood over your head. You don't know when the bullet's going to hit you right between the eyes. And I'm not sure. All right, sorry about that. We had a power surge or something, just and things just kind of went dark.
It was our new cell phone tower, I think. We hit a dead spot.
We're not on cellular. Are we on cellular? Is that how we broadcast?
I think that's our new.
Our new what?
Our new way to do that.
New
here.
Broadcasting.
Oh, save money.
We're innovative. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on cellular. We're back. Here's what we're going to do. Dr. Doug's going to join us right after the 4 o'clock news. But we have a couple of pairs of tickets to the Golf Expo this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the St. Charles Convention Center. And I know a lot of people love golf. I know people that play golf who are retired who play five times a week. I could not do that. I have a friend, and they'll do these three-day getaways, like four guys, and they'll play 36 holes 3 days.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Now, that's insane.
Yeah, it's 3 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. These tickets are good for admittance on any one of 3 days of the show.
So there'll be two winners. Each winner gets a pair of these Golf Expo tickets. Now, there's a reason for the way we're going to give these away. When they landed on the moon, didn't they hit a golf ball or something on the surface of the moon? And today, this morning, I'm reading this story about these people who have signed up, and we've talked about this before, this is not a joke, to go to Mars and not come back.
Yeah.
Now, it's extremely risky, and it takes months to get there. So you're in this little craft.
And it's a one-way. I mean, there's no...
It is absolutely one-way. You are not coming back, and they make that very clear. In the world, 100,000 people have signed up to go. And in the United States, 30,000 people have said, yeah, I'll go to Mars and maybe die. And even if I don't die, never come back. No internet, no TV. Now, I mean, think about it. You have to create your own oxygen. You have to make your own water. Who in the world would do this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and then food and everything else, there's no way.
Oh, no, that's a huge article, just pages and pages. And I tried to take from it, and maybe we'll talk about it later, but I know that today is a day people are sitting around thinking, what would I do if I won $500 million? You can't help but think about it. And I did get three sets of numbers. I also started thinking about this Mars thing. Kind of person... Let's say, I don't care if you're single, you have no family, still.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not coming back.
It takes a special...
And you're the first, and nobody else has done it, and you might all die immediately. I don't know what kind of person, but it stuns me that 30,000 people. The application is $38. I don't think this is a trip to cost anything. They just have to decide who they're going to choose. That other thing where, my goodness... I don't know, 300 or 400 people have put down $250,000, Tom Hanks, people like that, to go on Richard Branson's thing to go into space. That's a different deal. You're just going into space. You're not landing on anything, on the space station. You're just going to go up there and go, whoo, look, there's the Earth, and then you're coming back. $250,000. This, I think it's just an application fee. And they have a process of deciding, you know, who it is they're going to choose. And it'll be 2028 is the target, 40 people. Prior to that, they're going to send up four people, two men, two women. And then after that, for a few years later, they're sending 40 people up, and they're going to stay there till they die.
Yeah, I know.
Look, people have said to me, hey, if you had a chance, would you go into space? No, I wouldn't even go into that Branson thing where you just go up and take your camera and take some great pictures out the window and go, ooh, I'm weightless. I wouldn't do that, much less pay to do it. I don't know. So what we're going to do after the break when we come back, if you're interested and you'll use these tickets, two winners, each winner gets a pair of Golf Expo tickets. It's St. Charles Convention Center this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to tie in outer space with golf, and we're going to play Name That Planet. Now, let me before we come back, before you start calling, and let me give the numbers, 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS. Let me just say this. You better have some knowledge of the solar system. Okay, this is not a... Oh, yeah. Would you agree? This
yes.
is not a contest the average person could win.
Yeah, You better bring your A-planet game.
Bring your A-game, your A-for-astronomy game. And I always get confused. Astronomy is what we're talking about. Astrology is those people that tell you what's going to happen.
Science.
Yeah,
the
science.
Capricorn. Yeah.
So that's the deal. I just thought it's only fair to warn you. This is not for wussies. This is for people who know something about outer space, okay? It's called Name That Planet, and it could send you to the Golf Expo. We're going to do that after we take a break and come back. And the first part of that break... is to remind everybody that there's only really one company name you need to know if you ever decide to remodel your kitchen or bathroom. Now, I'm not talking to you people who just want the cabinets painted and somebody coming in there and it's $3,000 or $5,000. That, we're not talking about that. We're talking about tearing out, as they did in my house 18 years ago, everything. Cabinet, they tore the ceiling up, the lights that were in the ceiling, old dated fluorescent crap, they tore that, tore this. They put the refrigerator in a different place, and they rewired the 220. It was a big deal. And how they did it all in 3 weeks is beyond me. The first day, the demolition part, at the end of the very first day, I remember everything in that kitchen was gone. It was just a bare, nothing space with holes in the drywall and exposed pipe. And I just thought, my, how is this going to happen? 3 weeks, we had a functional kitchen. The fourth week was for cosmetics, handled, and just touch-up stuff, making sure everything was perfect, the final, and then it was done. And I know for a fact, because I've talked to people who had somebody they shouldn't have had remodeled their kitchens, and they were down for four months in one case, 6 months in the other case. That's ridiculous. Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home. When you decide to do it right and have that kitchen or bathroom that people will walk into and go, who did your kitchen? Who did your bathroom? And you can tell them, Thompson Price. The showroom is in De Pere, about a half mile east of 270. There's a TJ Maxx in there, and they're right next to McAllister's Deli. It's a beautiful complex, but even more beautiful, when you walk inside, you're going to see something that's going to impress you. And remember, those are just a few of the ideas and the things they can do. Here's the website, thompsonprice.com. Sam, is this your band?
Johnny,
that could never be.
What's that?
Is this your band?
No. This is Three Dog Night. The Southside Johnny Band? No.
Yeah. Well, you're so good. I mean,
I know.
It's going to be you. And we're ready to roll. Here's the plan, is to give away two pairs of Golf Expo tickets this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good any of those days. At the St. Charles Convention Center, we're going to play Name That Planet.
You know what else you get, too, when you go there? You get every attendee. This is what this says. Every attendee will receive over 15 rounds of free golf.
Stop it.
Just for attending.
Stop it.
That's crazy.
That, you know the new thing now to say when you're saying, now, oh, come on, is shut up.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, how did that happen? How did that get started?
Shut up.
Shut up. Oh, shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
No, I said that, Mike. All right, here we go. Our first contestant, I believe, speaking of Mike, we have a couple of Mikes on board. Let's go with Mike number one. Mike, how are you today?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Well, you're Mike, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Mike. Hallelujah. Would you go to this golf expo this weekend if you win these tickets?
Oh, absolutely. I love golf.
And who would you take with you?
Well, I would probably take my best bud. He likes golf as well. His name's Al. We both play pretty much all year.
Well, you're a good friend for doing that. Well, Mike, here we go. Do you know anything at all about astronomy? Did you study it in school? Or?
I don't think I've ever studied it, but I kind of like astronomy. It's interesting.
Well, we're going to find out how interesting it is to you.
Okay.
Here's your question. This particular planet, and good luck as we play Name That Planet. You know what, Peon, we should get a sound like we do for our talent show. That Planet. Here's a question number one. This particular planet cannot be seen from the Earth without a telescope. In fact, it was first seen by William Herschel in 1781 during a survey of the sky with a telescope. In 1782... George III appointed Herschel as Astronomer Royal. Whoa. Because of his discovery of this particular planet. Mike, can you name that planet? Now take your time. Don't.
I think I kind of like Uranus.
What?
Now, I'll give you a moment to decide if that is what you absolutely want to go with?
Let me think. Yeah, I pretty much like Uranus.
All right. Well, hang on. The answer in the envelope. It is Uranus.
Wow. Right. Wow. That gave it away.
Wow.
All right.
How'd you know that? I mean, you obviously you've done some research on planets.
Wait a minute. William Hirsch? Herschel discovered? Herschel.
Not Hershey.
No, yeah. Herschel. Herschel.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask, if that's where the Herschel squirts came from.
Herschel squirts.
I think it might be. Well, congratulations, Mike. You hang on, and Dan's going to take some information and have a good time at the golf expo, okay?
Well, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Mike's a very polite guy.
Yes, he was.
Now, we have to take these in the order that they've been holding, and, well, the next guy is also named Mike. Let's bring him in here. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, Frank. AM and the PM.
Thank you. Tell us your story, Mike. What part of town do you live in?
Wildwood.
Wildwood. I know it well. I live there. But every time you give somebody the zip code, it pops up as Chesterfield. I still don't understand that. What do you do for a living?
I am in sales.
That's pretty vague. Sell it. What do you sell?
Uniforms, facility services, things like that.
Hmm. Uniforms?
Yeah. Logos, work apparel.
Like guys that work in automotive garages that have shirts with their names on them and that kind of thing?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, all right. Are you married, a heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, divorced, widower?
Married. This year will be 15 years.
Amateur. All righty. obviously, you know a little bit about astronomy or you wouldn't dive into something this difficult. So, good luck to you, Mike. Mike number two, as we play Name That Planet, here is your question. There are four planets that are outer planets that are considered gas giants. They're referred to as the gas giants because these planets are composed entirely of gas. I'll give you three of them, and I need the fourth planet. One is Jupiter, one is Neptune, one is Saturn, and there's a fourth one. Mike, name that planet.
Man, threw me for a loop, but I think I'm going to go with Uranus.
I'm sorry?
I think I'm going to go with Uranus.
Go with Uranus. I'm being handed by our assistant, Charlene. Charlene?
Charlene?
Yeah, she's new here.
Oh.
Okay, she's really cute.
You're cute. Will you go out with me? No, I'm not married.
Is my mic on?
Yes.
Oh. Right. What was your answer again, Mike? I'm sorry.
I think I'll go with Uranus.
All righty.
Envelopes.
It is Uranus.
I think I knew that one right when you started saying gassy planet because I know Uranus is a really gassy planet.
Well, congratulations, Mike. You're going to the expo.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Dan will take some information. Now, what I'd like to do is give a third set of tickets away. I know we only have two, but I think I can get my hands on a third set because we've got these people that have been holding. I'd like to talk with Dan, if I could. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am. As always, in many years, I've been AM in the PM.
Well, don't think we don't appreciate that, Dan. We do. A little bit about yourself. Are you homosexual, heterosexual, transgender, bisexual, widower? What's the deal? Married?
Well, today I'm married. And I don't know what I'm going to be tomorrow, but right now, today, I'm married.
That sounds like marital problems.
Yeah.
Marriage in trouble. Yeah. That's what I hear. What do you do?
I'm a delivery driver for Arch Express, and it's a very good company to work for.
Wow. You know, nobody would say that if it weren't. I mean, most people don't say, boy, it's a really good company to work for. The KTRS people, you never even say that.
It's say the opposite.
What do you deliver?
Anything and everything. A lot of our stuff, we do a lot of medical supplies and wherever, whatever else people want us to deliver.
Well, Dan, are you ready to name that planet?
I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go. This particular planet has many storms that rage on its surface, mostly notable in the Big Red Spot, which is the largest hurricane in the solar system, and it has been raging for over 300 years on this planet. Oh. Dan, would you name that planet?
Let me think about it here for a quick second.
Storm on the surface raging for over 300 years.
Well, I'm going to take a chance and say what the last two guys said. Hopefully that it's going to be the same answer, but I'm going to go with Uranus.
Oh, like that would be three.
Three.
Isn't that the same ridiculous? Answer. Charlene, hand me a...
Three Uranuses in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll find out.
They're all gassy.
Struggling with this one.
Oh, man, that's a huge envelope.
It is Jupiter. I'm so sorry, Dan.
Oh,
the answer to that question was Jupiter. I'm really sorry, but thank you for playing.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Dan.
Oh,
I think a lot of people wrongly assume every answer, you know, is going to
be the same.
That's ridiculous. What kind of you've never watched TV and watched a game show and like a Wheel of Fortune, and every time they turn the letters, it's the same phrase. Crazy. Thanks to Dan for trying and playing one of the most popular games we have, Name That Planet. A lot of things to talk about today. I've never watched Jon Stewart. I saw where he said he was going to step away and retire or whatever. I know who he is.
I've watched like 2 minutes of the show.
I know who he
I've
is
never
because...
I've never seen a full episode of that.
Well, good. I feel better. But I know who he is because other shows play little clips from his show. Kind of like they'll show bits and segments from Jimmy Fallon. And he seems like a pretty bright guy. I think he's very political, but it's just funny that I never saw 1 minute of the Colbert Report, Stephen Colbert.
I haven't either.
I know what he looks like, and that's it. And then Brian Williams, what a story! I mean, what a coming out of nowhere, a guy who had an easy delivery, who seemed to be to me. Very genuine in his, not only his delivery, but as a person. When you see him outside that away from that news desk, just, you know, he had a sense of humor. And it'd be one thing if, I don't even know it would be different if it were just the one story, because it's such a big... It's such a huge statement.
It's just like one thing after another, though.
Let's just take the one. Okay, you're in a helicopter, and the copter that got hit had left 1 hour before you. So I know a little bit about helicopters. I'm a helicopter pilot, and let's say it was reasonable to say that thing's going 80 miles an hour. It's 80 miles away. It didn't hit you. Now, that's a huge lie. And...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no way you can misremember your helicopter getting hit by an RPG.
No. It would be one thing if it was a number he got wrong.
Right.
If he said, you know, we were 15 feet off the ground and they were really 1,500 feet and they were really 3,000 feet. Oh, okay, he had that wrong. But this is just totally different. Now, here's the question for you. 6 months, you think he'll come back?
I don't know.
I think it'll probably depend
on how the ratings do with Lester Holt, I would imagine.
I think he's done, and I feel bad for his family because this guy's walking the walk of shame now. After everything he's done, he's labeled as a liar. His credibility is shot.
And his daughter's kind of in the business, too, and
she was Peter Pan on that. I feel kind of bad for them. But here's the reason I don't. This guy's made so much money. You know, when somebody loses a job and they have to figure out how they're going to feed their family or pay the mortgage. That's another situation. This guy can kick back, take it easy. This will pass. Look how many athletes have done far worse, beat their wives, cocaine abuse, and the public forgives them. But they're not delivering the news, and they're not supposed to be telling us stories that are absolutely factual and true, and that's the difference. So I don't know that it's fair, but I think he's done, and I think this is what people will remember him for. Isn't that interesting? Of all the things he's done,
yeah,
this is what, just like Marv Albert. If you mention Marv Albert's name to me, I think of women's underwear. That's what I think of. And him, didn't he
biting
bite?
In the back, yeah.
Yeah, he bit some gal in the back and drew blood. That's what I remember him for. So this will be his legacy, is that he made up a bunch of crap that wasn't true.
But Marv Albert's one that was able to back to where he was.
He's actually doing golf now for NBC or ESPN or something.
Yeah.
So again, athletes, for some reason, it's almost like people, oh, well, he's an athlete, or he's a sportscaster, or he's a whatever. Eh, we expect that from them. But not Walter Cronkite or Brian Williams or Scott Pelley or any of these people. What's funny is I think to some degree they all exaggerate, and I'll take a moment here to share with the audience what you guys, and you'll remember this. Remember when we were in the Dominican and that hurricane had hit Haiti? And Haiti is, I mean, it's down the beach. It's right. 90 miles or something, just right down the beach. And the locals there were telling us about Katie Couric. At the time, Katie Couric was doing the CBS Evening News. And remember, if you watch the coverage, it was like she was in the trenches. She was right there. Horrible conditions. They said they saw her. She stayed far, far away. She stayed in the Dominican at some five-star hotel.
She stayed at the
resort.
At the resort right next door.
Right next, yeah.
And a helicopter picked her up,
yeah,
and set her down in Haiti long enough to do a story, and then picked her up and dropped her back at the Ritz or whatever it was, the hotel.
It was a pretty expensive resort there.
It's never really what the public thinks it is. And I go back to my dad and my mom. My mom's been dead for quite a while, but they were in Jackson, Tennessee, which is 11 miles from where they lived. And they saw cameras and trucks, and it looked like a news or film crew. And it was Al Gore at the time and his wife, I think, and they were helping build a house. That's what the news story was. So they pulled over, and they had a chance to get out and stand around and watch. And my dad has never really understood how things work in terms of, what's dished out to us and the way it's packaged so that we think a certain thing. And this was a real eye-opener for him. He said that they handed Al Gore a paintbrush, and there was somebody directing him or coaching him what angle and how to brush. And so he took, my dad said, like four swipes of paint with a paintbrush. And they said, got it. And he's gone.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, that was his contribution to building a house. And that was a real eye-opener for him. But that's just the way it works. It's common. So I don't know if what Brian Williams did is so horrible. Maybe it is. But I just find it. And then how do you come back? Do you say, okay, I'm not a liar anymore? Well, how did you fix that?
Right.
So that's the awkward thing. There's no fix for
that.
Went
to liar's rehab. And
although, I believe if he came back, that's the last thing he'd ever do again. Once you've been hit like this, I don't see how could you ever fabricate anything again. I tend to think if he came back, he'd probably be giving us the facts straighter than anybody, because he's not going to want to get caught doing
he'd
that.
He'd probably double-check him.
My goodness, yes, yeah. More than anybody, so he probably has more credibility than anybody else. I don't know. We'll see, but I don't think he'll be back in 6 months. Time to talk a little investment talk, financial advice. And a lot of people do it. You hear them on this station. What do we got, like 24 financial people, retirement people? Then you get things in the mail. Come to lunch, and we're having a seminar, and we'll talk to you about your investments and your 401k, and there are hundreds of these people out there. You know who you don't hear from a lot, and you don't hear them on the air, is Mark and Jason. This is an approach that It's the way they do it. It's not yelling at people all the time, coming on the air and saying, this is why this is happening. They prefer for their voices to be heard by you in a meeting when you sit down with them. Now, I will probably have Mark Reardon on here from time to time. We haven't for a couple of 3 years, but if something big happens that we don't understand in the market or with investment or gold or oil or whatever, we'll get him on and he'll talk to us. But they're very good at doing their communicating directly with the people they work for. And they have a lot of clients, and they have clients who have that minimum $25,000, and they have clients who each have millions of dollars. They've been doing this a while, 28 years with Stifel Nicolaus. This is a choice you have to make, to sit down with somebody and get advice as to what to do with your money, with your $25,000 or more. It's a tough thing to do, to trust somebody to make sure, hang on to this for me. I don't want to lose it, and I'd like to make it grow. Talk to them. Compare what you're doing now with what they have to say. Here's the website that'll give you all the information you need to know. MarkandJason.com. Oh, sounds like Christmas. No, wait.
How much is that jar in the window?
That's called harmonizing. Dan would appreciate that. He's in a band, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
They never have his headphones on. What is that about? Earth to Dan.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to turn your headphone things on. So like.
I was putting them on and trying to turn my microphone off while I was coughing.
That's a good story. It's time to talk to Dr. Doug Pernikoff about your pet. Here's the scoop on this guy. He's a terrific veterinarian, and he loves animals, and he's an easy guy to talk to. And it's free. You know? There's no... what do they call it? Office charge. Visit, office visit. Yeah, it's free. If you have a cat or a dog or an iguana or a salamander or a snake or cockroaches or tarantulas or whatever it is, he'd love to talk to you. And it works this way. He doesn't do a monologue. We jump right into the callers. So calling right now is crucial. 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS. I'll do that one more time. 314-969-5877. Or 888-550-5877. And please never forget that Dr. Doug is brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. The app is STL Taxi, and it's free. Now, this is interesting. Every week, this happens the same way. No callers on the screen, and as soon as he starts to talk, everybody jumps in thinking for some reason they should have waited 1 minute. No, you call right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your pet's best friend, the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. How's everyone today?
Good, Dr. Doug.
We're doing fantastic, doctor. How are you?
I am AM in the PM. I know you're trying to throw me off.
We either have a down panel, a system on our phone. Well, here they go. Now it's working. I need to explain to people the it's a thing about the size of a keyboard on your computer, and it has a row of buttons on it. And every once in a while, they just all go black and they freeze because it's 60 years old or whatever. Let me give the numbers again now that it's rebooted. 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS. Up first is Wilma. Wilma, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Wilma. How are you, honey?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I have a question about my dog. I have a little dog that is a rescue dog, mm-hmm. and part Shih Tzu mm-hmm. and part Poodle. And he has been
rashing.
Wait, what? What's wrong?
I'm sorry.
What is the breed called that's half Poodle and half Shih Tzu?
No, he can say, let it go. He can say that. It's a combination
of
the two words.
I can say it.
He can say he's a professional veterinarian. I think that's a fantastic name. You combine poodle and shih tzu. What else would, that's perfect.
How about a shih tzu and a bulldog?
No, doctor.
All right, don't push your luck.
We're not going to do, I don't wish you were going to do bull zoo. We're not going to do that. Yeah. So, Wilma, now you know what kind of dog you have.
Now I know. Thank you very much. The dog is scratching, itching like crazy, and I have no idea what to do. We think it's because of the dry weather. We're giving him a flaxseed oil, mm-hmm. But we're trying to figure out if there's anything else we can do besides watch him itch.
Well, how long have you had the dog, Wilma?
He is 4 years old, maybe.
No, but how long have you had him, and you said he was a rescue?
For sure, 3.
You've had him for 3 years?
Yes.
And this is a new presentation. It's never happened before?
Nothing like this.
Okay. So do you see any open wounds on the scratching areas or any flakiness or anything different or just the action that he's scratching all
Pus,
the time?
Maybe.
He has gotten to the point that he has scratches, bleeding from where he's been scratching.
So, yeah, this is a situation where you need to get into your veterinarian. He's probably going to treat the active open wounds and in turn talk to you about a number of options he may have regarding food preparations you can use. It might be anti-allergenic, or sometimes they may put you on some antihistamines or some kind of combination of medicine. And then he'll ask you to look at things around your house. Is the dog focused on one area, laying in one area or another? Is the lesion or the scratching mostly in one part of the body or another? So there's a whole kind of detective stepping to do, a process to try and rule in or rule out what kind of, if it's an allergy, what kind of allergies are available. There's also some blood work that can be addressed to that can help define the types of things in your household that might be creating allergic responses by your dog. And that's probably the most likely suggestion. But even what we call them fomites or just dust mites in your house, no matter how clean your house is, those are commonly a problem. And so can be different foodstuffs. So it's a bit of investigative work, but I think that it could be very easily managed if you have time to get over there and talk to him or her and find out what kind of program you should institute, okay?
Okay, well,
okay.
Thank you
good
very much.
Good luck with it, and let us know how it goes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wilma. Wilma actually sent us an audio file of the dog scratching. It sounds pretty serious. You want to hear it, Doctor? Listen.
Sure.
Yeah, that's serious. That dog's got a problem.
It sounds like Dan's doing his nails.
Once again, you've attracted the ladies. Cindy is on the line. Cindy, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. I have a question about a stray cat.
Okay.
My parents have been having a stray black cat in their backyard, which backs up to a slight wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in their 80s. I have two cats already, and it's breaking my heart seeing this cat in and out because it's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to have them try to put some food down. Should I try to catch it? How do I try to catch it? What do I do with it then?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you start giving food, it's going to be there every day or it's going to be there. And then it becomes their pet. If they want to keep some kind of housing outside to break, I was going to say to break wind. That's not what I meant. To break,
right. It's what's bothering me with being
keep
so cold
the wind
now.
Or the other inclement weather upon the cat, then that would be one way to do it. And they never have to really commit to much more than just providing a little space and safety and food. If they want to address it so that it can possibly go into a rescue program, you're going to need to trap it, obviously, and then find a rescue program that's interested in accepting the stray cat. And then if you have other cats around the house, it's important to know that this is a feral cat right now. We don't know if it came out of a pet household or not. It can be carrying different diseases that could be threatening.
Right, that's why I don't want it really with my cats.
Not without getting it checked out. And
there's a shed out in the wooded area that it's running and hiding under.
Sure. It can have exposure to other wild cats that have diseases like feline leukemia virus or feline immunological virus. So there's a lot of things that can be detected with a blood test. There are some viruses like FIP, which is a coronavirus. That one's hard to determine unless they're really ill. So if you don't want to take a chance.
Should be treated or not? I mean, let it just do nature do its course? Or
well, like I said, it'd be nice to get them out of the system.
I would love that.
You know, it takes a little bit of effort on your part. The other problem with cats and feral cats is not only can they spread diseases throughout the course of the year to your domestic cats that might be outside intermittently, but, you know, we don't know what they're introducing to the other community, and they also kill a lot of the good little animals around.
Sandy, do you own a .22 caliber rifle?
No. I would chew you first, though.
Dr. Doug chastised him.
You're going to get a bunch of hate mail now. But I would suggest that, you know, if you can trap it, that's probably the best solution.
How do you trap it?
And you can borrow these or rent a trap, I think, from one of the humane organizations like APA, Humane Society, and they're live traps. So you just bait them, and first you leave them baited without allowing it to close, and they get used to going in and out. And then eventually, you know, after a little bit, then you start to set it for trap. You may catch an occasional raccoon or possum or something like that, but I think it'd be good to get them out of the system if you can.
What does that mean? You trap them and take them and jump them somewhere?
Well, then you'd have to, again, decide if you want to take them to the Humane Society. There's a good chance they're not going to do much to try and keep it going. They only have so many days that they can keep it alive without someone looking for it. But if you want to try and search out one of the rescue groups, there are a number of them around St. Louis that involve cats, and see if they have space for it, you can do that before you get into the trapping mode.
And they might be able to give you a trap,
too. What if you trap a raccoon?
Just let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can.
Or you can eat it. You can eat it, too. In the South, they eat them. You might have a good dinner.
Yeah.
They do.
Cindy, we're out of time. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Yeah, now see, everybody went, oh, I said you have a .22 rifle. Everybody, oh, and now I was kidding, sort of. Yeah, I was kidding. But then the alternative was, no, you trap it and you take it to somebody and they'll kill it.
Right. That's a possibility.
Hey, Doug, is it true that raccoons are rabies carriers?
Well, not in Missouri, but in the East Coast they are. Typically here, the rabies carriers are going to be bats, foxes, sometimes feral dogs and feral cats.
But they're mean, too, sometimes, raccoons.
I'm sorry?
Raccoons are mean sometimes.
They're really mean, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't think it's being wild.
They could carry rabies. It just so happens that rabies seems to find particular hosts in particular parts of the U.S.
All right, now we're going to get to that call. I have to say something. When I came last summer up on a stray cat. I got to tell you something. They scare me. I don't want to pet or try to touch a stray cat, because you don't know what they're thinking. Are they going to claw you and bite you? But a dog, I've seen straight up, come here, and you can just tell he's wagging his tail. You know when he's coming toward you, he's not going to hurt you. Cats, I don't know.
It's harder to read.
Yeah, they are hard to read. Let's get Jeremy in here. Jeremy, thanks for holding. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm well. I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. What's cooking with you?
All right, so I got a 8-year-old male golden retriever.
Uh-huh.
He has cancer, his bone cancer.
Oh, no.
Okay. His right leg has been amputated, so it's contained, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
All right, but the question is, so he had, a couple weeks ago, he had a cyst develop on the back of his neck that popped.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
All right.
And the vet, when we took him in, said, you know, it closed up naturally on its own, they treated it. But still, to, you know, a couple weeks on, it's looks like a big hardened ball of blood, and every now and again breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, so the problem with leaving it to heal on its own is that these cysts are foreign bodies, and the body's immune system tries to make a capsule around it to push it away from the rest of the body. So the problem that he's set up for you is that the capsule never got removed. So it closes, it ruptures, it closes and heals a little bit on the surface, and the material is still accumulating. It could be all kinds of waxy material and all stuff. So you need to surgically get in there and remove the capsule and make an old wound into a fresh wound, and it'll heal immediately with stitches.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, go back to the vet and have them do some more work.
Yeah, just tell them you want this dissected out surgically and you want it closed up. And that way you're not going to have the repeated incident.
Okay.
Now, those can, in some animals, those can kind of predispose. They tend to come back in other areas. So you might ask them to review, it's a golden retriever, ask them to review the thyroid levels, because sometimes that can be associated with those things. Okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and anybody who wants to email me, because I said, do you have a rifle? You know what? Go ahead. I shot a cat one time, a wild cat at my house years ago. This cat was a terror, and I'm not kidding. We were scared to death of this cat. The kids were younger, and he tried to kill. It's a long story, but we inherited a cat when we bought our house. It was an outdoor cat that hung around the house, and that thing was scared to death. And this thing was huge, and he had real long hair, and he was terrorizing everybody and everything. So I shot him.
Well, that was a true hunting feral cat.
Well, and I'm going
to
tell you
found
something.
His life out there, and then he was a threat to your cat.
He was a threat to, I think, people as well. Yep. Steve's next. Steve, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How you doing?
Good, Steve. How
of course
you?
I'm A and a P.
Well, of course you are. Hallelujah.
What can I do for you?
We had a Lhasa Shih Tzu combination. He was the perfect dog and had a tumor in its throat, come to find out, and we had to put him down. And so now we're debating on getting another dog, and everybody tells me that small dogs live a lot longer than large dogs. So
statistically, that's true.
But is it much longer, like 2 years
well,
or something?
Well, it depends on what breeds. I mean, if you get a Maltese, you might have a 16 to 19-year-old dog, and if you get a Mastiff, you're going to have probably a 7 to 10-year-old dog. So, you know, if you want to commit to a house pet that you want to have around a long time, you know, and you can shop around and ask if you find a purebred, you can ask what's been sort of the historical statistical normal for the line. If you're going to get a mutt, you're probably not going to know, so you'd probably pick a smaller dog like a terrier breed.
If we're going to get another rescue. I mean, this one we rescued, this Lhasa of Shih Tzu.
I'd probably look for a terrier breed or a poodle-like related breed.
We had an Australian terrier, and he was a dog from hell.
a lot of those are wonderful dogs, but you don't know what he was mixed with, maybe.
Well,
but I would say
purebred,
if you get a dog that looks like
it's
going to be 40 pounds or less, then you have, you know, probably a better chance for a longer life. Not to say that, I mean, the oldest dog I've ever known was a 21-year-old German Shepherd. So
21?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Why is that? Why do the bigger dogs not live as long?
You know,
bigger
I don't
people
know
don't live as long.
What it is exactly, you know, because you'd almost rationalize that the smaller dogs have a higher metabolic rate. They're going to burn through life a lot quicker, but it might have something to do with the breed and how they've been bred out over the years and those characteristics. But I'm not exactly sure. It's a good question. I could investigate that.
Steve, thank you for the call.
Have a good day.
All right.
You too. David's next. David, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, David.
Hey, we're AM and PM.
Thank you, David.
Hallelujah. What kind of poop?
Go ahead.
Yes?
Go ahead.
No, this is awkward.
No, go ahead,
no, go ahead.
David,
go
ahead.
No, you go. No, you go. No, you go. Go ahead, David.
Okay, I've got a six-year-old blue heeler.
Okay.
Who we've had since he's been a pup. And 3 years ago, when our annual shots, we found out that he had a small heartworm test came a little bit positive. He's been on heart guard ever since we've been able to put him on heart guard. And they recommended that we do the poison and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, he's kind of been a little aggressive. And so should we have even done the poison, or was the heart guard still good enough, even though it showed a positive?
Yeah, you're talking about they had to kill the adult worms, and they have the medications are extremely toxic to the animals in some cases. And, you know, I don't know why that would specifically, and we've treated gazillions of these dogs. I don't remember hearing that there's any reason for a behavioral change unless they went through some discomfort through the teaching process or whatever, the treatment process. But I'm not sure that there's a direct correlation between the medication. Rather, it might be something within the dog's head.
Well, that's what we were thinking, maybe the poison and the brain, the neurological difference maybe.
Yeah, I just haven't seen that. And like I said, we do a lot of rescue dogs. So we have to treat a lot of heartworm, and I haven't specifically seen that at all.
Okay.
All right,
thank you, David. Right. Now, we're going to take another call before we do. Heartworm, is it actually worms in your heart?
Yeah.
How
disgusting. So what happens is, in very brief, the mosquito carries an immature larval form, microscopic form, injects it when he takes a bite of a blood meal, and injects these immature worms, and then they go through a cycle in developing in the host, which is the dog or whatever mammal, and then they actually end up lying in the right side of the heart and also the vessels that go to the lungs, the pulmonary vessels, and they literally create a lot of extra hard work for the heart. And depending on whether you have one adult or 100 adults in there will depend on how much damage is done and over what time period. And when you treat these animals, you've got to treat both the developing larvae and you have to kill the adults that are continuing to produce
the larvae.
Okay, the long answer to the question, are there actually worms in their heart? The answer is yes.
Long worms in their heart.
All right.
There can be, like, bunches of them.
Let's get John in here, and we'll wrap it up. John, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, I don't know if you can help me with this, but I live out in the country, and we have a cesspool that our kitchen sink drains into, and it's just an open pit. Mm-hmm. And I've put a fence up around it, but our dogs insist on trying to get down there and trying to eat whatever comes out of the drain pipe or drink that water. And I think they end up eating a lot of the mud, you know, because it smells like food or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I put a fence up around it, and I was just wondering, is there anything I can spray around there to...
Well, a couple things you can do. You can do this, and like zoos do this a lot, barrier fencing. You could put up these little 6-volt lines, and what you have to do is you have to put them, so let's say you have your primary fence that you have up already, and then just in front of that, you're going to put up this little electric wire with like a 6-volt jolt, and you put it up at two points, almost like stair-stepped, so that the animal can't just pop over it and over the other fence into the pool. This way, they're kind of obligated to touch that wire one way or the other. And
right.
You can train them, hey, after a while, they're going to realize going there, it ain't a good idea, and then you can turn off the electricity once they've been taught a little bit. Or you can get, like, the invisible fence, which basically does the same thing. It's a lot more expensive. So I would try one of the, you can go to one of these farm supply places and look into that, or sometimes the feed stores are off of that technology.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the problem I have is, you know, they can't get in past the fence. It's where it drains out, I think, a little farther down a hill, you know, that they're going down, like, where it drains out. And I just wanted to, like, kind of do something in that whole area there just to keep them out of there. It's muddy and nasty and, you know.
Yeah, how big an area is it?
Oh, it's probably, I really don't have a, probably at least a 500 square feet.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, I would say unless you're going to extend your fence or somehow you covered it up with some chat and mixed it in and moved it out, or maybe even put some kind of rocale or some kind of bad-smelling or bitter material in there so that they're not interested.
Oh, no, you might have to do that the stuff repeatedly. That comes out of this pipe.
It's bad enough already.
I can't believe they even eat this stuff. Ooh,
I know, it's amazing. But I think you're going to have to do something like that, flavor it in a way that's, you know, it either tastes horrible or just make it so that they're not available to get to.
Although the chat, that does sound like a good idea. I might do that. I might just get out.
They can still lick off the chat because it'll get saturated, but at least you'll
sounds
have
dirty.
Something.
Yeah.
And then what you might do underneath the chat is kind of burrow it out and make a bed of absorbent material, just like I think they do this for some of the lakes and stuff like that, and allow it to basically drain down in there, and so it's not sitting on the surface.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, in the summertime, it's not such a bad problem, you know, because it dries pretty fast, you know.
Yeah.
But in the wintertime, you know, it stays wet forever. And
I talked to an engineer about some basic drainage and how to get it so that it's absorbed in the soil quicker.
All right, we were out of time 5 minutes ago. John, thank you for the call.
I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Dr. Doug.
Bye-bye. Dr. Doug, thank you. We'll do it next week.
See y'all later.
There he goes. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody, your pet's best friend. He's at the Clarkson-Wilson Veterinary Clinic, and he's brought to you by Laclede Cab. Never forget that. Laclede Cab. That's the only cab you want. Their AM and the PM, and the app is STL Taxi, and it's free. And on the phone, waiting very patiently, and we appreciate that, is John Londoff. Hello, John.
I don't know about the patiently, but I'm here. How are you?
We're good. Sorry about that. I didn't know the last call would take that long. Dr. Doug was kind of long-winded today.
Yeah, he was.
Long answers to questions today. I think he wanted to be on. He wanted more radio time today. That's okay. I don't blame him.
Hey, real quickly before we start.
Someone gets on with you, Frank. Nobody wants to get off the air.
Well, thank you, John. What were we going to say, Peon? John, what were we going to say, Peon?
Real quickly before we start, Mike Breitenstein came in today, and he said he had taken the station vehicle into Johnny Londoff today for service, and he wanted to give a little shout-out to the service advisor. He said he was very helpful today. Todd, is it Hoferlin?
Heferlin.
Heferlin. So just a shout-out to Todd from Mike. He said it was a pleasure getting the car serviced today.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Todd's been with the organization for 19, almost 20 years. That's
what the hockey people say, organization.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He's a hockey guy. His son played hockey, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people like, we're into, you know, sports, and we kind of relate a lot of what we do here as a team, you know, two successful teams and championship teams, and it's all about hard work and practice and then, you know, detail, and, you know, you got to take care of our customers. Understanding we're not perfect.
I didn't know we had a station vehicle. We have a station vehicle?
Apparently we do. I didn't know either.
Honestly, I never knew. 18 years, I never knew that. It'll be 18 years this summer. I had no idea we had a station vehicle.
No, they told me a while back not to tell you.
We don't get to use it.
No.
I don't know why they said it. They said, don't tell.
I think only certain.
I know. I knew Mike has a limo. He's driven in a limo to work.
Right.
I knew that. That's nobody, hands off. Nobody can touch that. But I didn't know we had a vehicle. So how's everything?
Everything is unbelievable. Very busy. It's been a great day. I think it will be a great night since we're open late tonight. And a lot of AM and the PM customers, and, you know, we love them. They're just so much fun. They're unbelievable. And a lot of fun stuff happening here, Johnny, a lot of trouble.
If you win Powerball, if you win Powerball, will you still sell Chevys?
Oh, yes.
No, come on. Come on. Why would you?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I love what I do. I love people. I love talking to people. And yesterday, came back from a lunch meeting, and all of a sudden I caught myself just talking to customers in the waiting room, and just this one lady, Miss Wade, she said, you know, you need to have lunch sandwiches here for us in the afternoon.
I agree with her.
You know, 1:30 or whatnot, I'm like, I haven't even eaten lunch today. She goes, well, you need to have some sandwiches. I'm like, well, we have like, you know, 3 dozen donuts from Old Town Donuts in Florissant.
That's a good place.
It's just that you just can't help but walk.
Yeah, but is it better than Krispy Kreme?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Come on.
They have the maple bacon donuts.
Maple icing bacon.
I'll bring some in because we give a dozen donuts away during the Harris Challenge on Friday. But I'll bring some in.
Yes, they're very delicious. Good.
Hey, that one, it was the with the bacon on top, the Long John.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You have room in there. You could put a little small buffet in there for people. You know, like just the basics, chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and, you know.
Hire a cook. Have
corn.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Put a kitchen in the back.
A chef with a white hat standing back there. What can I get you while you're waiting on your car?
That would be innovative and something
sure
new
would.
At a car dealership.
It sure would.
No, I'm writing that down right now.
I bet you are. People there early in the morning, you have one of those omelet guys at an omelet station.
If they're there for early morning service,
how do you like your omelets? I'm telling you, I think this is a great idea.
People would come in to service a car even if it didn't need it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's your bill.
We would call it the Frank O. Pinion Kitchen. And this way, then, you would fund it. You would help take
no,
care of it.
No, what would happen is that they come out and go, Mr. Smith, your car is ready. By the way, your oil change is $687. you build it into the service charge.
There you go.
See?
I tell you what, the ideas just absolutely explode.
Yep, yes, they do.
From your mind to your lips.
Yes, they do.
Unbelievable.
I still have never seen or heard one word about the Flex. Now, why is that? Do they not want to promote it?
The Trax.
I mean, I'm sorry. The Trax.
Yeah, the
Chevy Trax. T-R-A-X. Do they not want to promote it at all, or what's the story?
It's interesting because we're selling those. We've built up, a little bit of an inventory. I think we've got about 20 in stock.
Wow.
And all the I see so many commercials on the Colorado. We can't keep a Colorado in stock. So we don't have any, you know, inventory. If we get 8 or 9 trucks, Colorados, off the transport, within days, a week, they're gone.
I want to come over and check out that track.
It's an unbelievable, gorgeous truck, but yet every commercial is about the Colorado.
Well, first of all, when I saw it, I thought, wow, this is a really interesting little, if you want an affordable, small SUV, 4x4, this is it, the Trax. I've not seen one ad or heard one word about this thing anywhere, and I just kind of sneaked it in, and you have to sort of discover it. I don't know that I get that.
Does it look like a smaller version of the Equinox?
Totally different look.
No, yeah, the body doesn't even look the same.
It's a totally different look, and it is, just go online, lawnduff.com, and pull up Trax. It is a great-looking vehicle, great ride, quiet. And in thousands less than the Equinox. The Equinox has a larger cargo area. but the Trax, I think, is appealing to a lot of people that maybe don't want, because the Equinox is the largest, you know, small SUV in the market. If you park it next to another brand of competition, like an Escape, which you should escape from, or the like a Toyota RAV4, very not a safe vehicle, but it just dwarfs them. It's a much bigger vehicle, much safer vehicle.
I love my Equinox.
Hey, how do you like the spin that I put on Tom Brady's? They gave him that Ford truck. He gave it away. He didn't even want it. You know what I think he did? He went out and bought a Silverado. That's what I'm thinking.
You want to save your life? Look at that accident. Was it in Portland when a guy in a Silverado crew cab was crushed by two tractor trailers, and they cut him out, and he's alive. Not hardly a scratch or a bruise on him. And the guy's like, he goes, I know it's a miracle. He goes, obviously there's God has much more work for me to do, and I'm going to live my life as to the best that I can, because obviously I'm here for a real purpose, because there's no way this guy goes, there's no way I should be alive. There's absolutely no way. This truck is obviously, and Mimi Lawnoff is like, now why isn't Chevrolet capitalizing on that, getting this gentleman and having a commercial showing this accident and say, you know, that's right, no matter what the others say, toughest truck in the world, okay?
Yeah, but you know that's
the manufacturers out there talking about military grade aluminum. What the heck is that?
Well, here's the thing: all truck commercials are the same. They'll either pull things. They'll you put them in four wheel drive. They'll climb over rocks and stuff. But I think she's right. Here's a different take on the safety of the truck, because quite frankly, all these trucks try to outstrength each other. Look what it'll pull, a payload or whatever. When the safety thing is never mentioned for some reason. So, yeah, they should. Subaru does. Subaru, you know, that's the basis for most of their campaigning right now. So, once again, Mimi and I agree. Would you like to give us a phone number?
I would love to give you a phone number. We're talking about my wife so much. We're on the air together, okay?
Okay. I talk to her mostly when we're not on the air.
314-837-1800. 24/7, 365, LawnDoff.com, LONDOFF.com. You can pretty much do almost the entire transaction online. I would say that 80%+ of our credit applications are done online. That saves you 30 to 45 minutes to an hour. And we know that our customers want to get in and want to get out, do the process, sign their paperwork, so we can do the emails back and forth with pricing and payments, you know, video of the vehicle you're interested in, and pictures of your trade-in with the VIN number and the mileage, and it's a done deal. We make it very, very simple, and the most important thing is fun. Fun, buying a car here at Johnny Law and Dobbs Chevrolet.
All right. Well, they will be on the way.
A fun group of people.
Yes, they are, and some of them are on the way right now, so take good care of them, as you always do.
All right.
All right, John.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you later. Good evening. Drive safe, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye. John Landoff, Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, Washington, the Elizabeth exit off 270 up in Florissant. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Coming up in the Playhouse, at the last part of the Playhouse, one of our two jokes that we wait to tell till we think it's about as cold as it's going to be. We're looking at zero. I think it was it Saturday night or Thursday night or something? Low of zero. So the great snowmobile joke coming up on the Big 550 KTRS. From down, is he Kansas City still, or is he downtown?
He's in his car driving back. Right
from
now.
His car,
whoa.
It's the Bill Clevelin segment, starring Bill Clevelin, along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. STL Taxi is the app. It is free. It's easy. It's a great way to get a Laclede Cab. And now from his car, en route from Kansas City to St. Louis, here's Bill Clevelin.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Good afternoon, Bill. Are you hands-free, or are you holding the phone?
Yeah, I'm holding the phone.
Don't go to Illinois. Don't go to Illinois.
I just wanted to say, as I'm just leaving Kansas City, you know, from time to time we like to talk about the power of the Big 550.
Mm-hmm.
From Kansas City, at least just outside of Kansas City, I could pick up the Big 550 KTRS. I heard Dr. Doug talking, yep.
That makes no sense, because when we had the Cardinals on this station,
yeah,
they
people said you couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Yep. I wouldn't say loud and clear, but enough I could make. I knew what was going on.
Yeah. Well, I guess they lied.
So I don't have a lot of notes in front of me, as you might imagine. Since I'm
you use notes?
What? No.
Well, you know, what things that I've seen on my trip and stuff like that, so I don't forget anything. But I have something that I've been wrestling with all day today, and I'd like to get it off my conscience. This morning I woke up, I was at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown Kansas City, right next to the... That's right, everybody.
Nice place.
It was nice. They were very nice, and right next to the convention center there. And so I don't normally eat breakfast in the morning. I don't know if you guys are breakfast people or
when
not.
When I'm away from home, I eat breakfast every morning. There's nothing better than breakfast when you're out on the road or on vacation.
Well, I woke up this morning. I was a little hungry, and they have like a Starbucks in the lobby. If you've been there, you probably know that. But it was like 30 people deep, the line was. It was. I'm like, I'm not waiting. And I noticed on the other side of the lobby, they had a table set up that had donuts, okay? And so there's a big meeting down there, a big convention of Methodists in the lobby. And like at the hotel, they're staying there, at the conference center, they're doing stuff. So, it's been bothering me all day today, but this morning I pretended to be a part of the Methodist conference to get a free donut.
Oh, my goodness,
that's
a sin.
Probably going to hell.
Now, that's a sin. When you pretend to be part of a religious group just to get a donut, that's...
You know what, Bill? I'm proud of you for doing that.
Dan's alley.
Oh, man, you're talking Dan's language.
Yeah, so I got my free donut. So, to Methodists everywhere... Thank you for letting me.
You know what, though? They probably would have wanted you to have it, thinking if this is how we can bring him on over and win him over to the Methodist way of thinking, have a donut. Yeah. They would have offered it anyway.
Well, I would have pretended to be any of them, quite honestly, but, you know, what the heck. I will mention one thing I did today. I went to the headquarters of Hallmark. You know that's in Kansas City, right?
Yes.
And I found out a couple of pretty interesting things about Hallmark. The guy that started the corporation, J.C., Hall, I thought this was absolutely ingenious. When he was first starting out, I guess he designed postcards and stuff. And what he would do to sort of get his business going, he just sent his cards to businesses, random businesses, didn't ask them ahead of time. He just would send them like a box of cards and stuff, and he included a bill. And so he did this like to all sorts of businesses around the Kansas City area. And wouldn't you know, like half of them actually paid the bill. Again, they didn't ask. They didn't ask for any of his.
That is actually brilliant because they just thought somebody in the company ordered the car. It's ingenious.
Yes, and that's how he kind of got Hallmark started.
And nobody ever mentions his partner. It was J.C. Hall and a guy named Groucho Marx.
Oh man,
they went in together. Yeah, thanks everybody.
Yeah, I don't know that I saw that in the museum, but I believe you. And then one other fun fact here, Hallmark invented wrapping paper. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
They were the ones who started the wrapping paper. So there you go. You learned a little something today.
Learned a lot.
Yeah.
Learned a lot.
And
I
repented on the air here. So I
okay,
think I
you should. All right. Wrap it up. Give us the goodbye.
The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cap, the AM and the PM Cap Company, and from my vehicle somewhere outside of Kansas City, Missouri. I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KJ.
Thank you, Bill.
See you guys. Bye. Yeah.
I wouldn't feel bad about that donut thing. It's a big deal. Dan's done worse.
Oh, yeah.
American Equity Mortgage, 314-878-9999. How much do you owe on credit cards? All of them together. The average person in this country owes, I think the number... It's like $6,000. That's average. There are lots of people with $20,000 credit card bills, and then they get so big you can't pay them off. So what do? The easy thing, make a minimum payment. It's right there on the bill. To make it easy, make an easy minimum pay. Yeah, easy for them to rake in the interest they get on that. That's strictly set up for them, not for you. You don't want to do that. If you're a homeowner, you don't have to. American Equity will show you how to use that equity in your home to pay those bills off, among other things they can do for you. 314-878-9999. American Equity Mortgage. Don't go away. Snowmobile Joe coming 5 o'clock.
FM.
Oh, we're full of chat, and we're full of chit, and we think you'll get lots of
dank urine
soaked hell holes.
Wow. That pretty much describes it. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the February 11th edition of Pinions Playhouse. We are 3 days away from Valentine's Day, 4 days away from my wife's birthday. They're back to back, right one before the other, so it's a double whammy. Thank goodness we have a pact with each other. We just don't get each other gifts for things like that. Whew, this would be a really expensive weekend.
Oh, once you hear about something that a listener shared with me on Facebook, you might want to buy this gift this year. So.
Well, tell me when we do the round of introductions, share that with me.
All right.
It might save my marriage. And second of all, don't share it with me if it'll save my marriage. I'm just kidding, of course. Kidding.
Hey!
Brought to you by First Community Credit Union. That's the sponsor of the Playhouse today. Let's do a round of introductions. We start with the father of Archie Michael. How old is he now? Today.
2 weeks? I mean, 2 months.
Today is 2 months.
It's the 2 month mark.
Oh, man.
Yes.
It's going to go so fast you won't believe it. Here's his dad and our control board operator, Eon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus. And with costs going up, it is a good idea to have a strategy in place to give yourself pay raises. And Mark and Jason can help you achieve that. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
Hello to the chicks.
Dan Strauss is in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, how's it going?
Great. Hi, everybody.
Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. Bernice is in heaven.
You are so kind, Dan.
And Rat Boy wants to know how to get the application to go to Mars. We were talking about worldwide, 100,000 people have sent in applications to go to Mars in about 2028 and never return. One-way trip. And he wants to go because he's heard it's made out of green what?
Cheese.
No, that's the moon.
Yeah, that's the moon.
You got it all mixed up.
Yeah.
That's the moon, Rat Boy. Now he wants to go to the moon. Boy, he loves that cheese. Give it up for Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra. We are brought to you today, and the joke, the great snowmobile joke, the cold weather joke by First Community Credit Union. I think by now, I hope by now, you know who they are and what they do. And I know you're sitting in your car and you're thinking, man, I've been hearing about this First Community Credit Union for 7 or 8 years now. But you've still not decided to do your banking there. What's the matter with you? Huh? What's the matter? Get on with it. Get on with it. You'll be glad. It's one of those things that once you do it, you'll be glad you did it. And it's not that big a deal. You go to your bank, where they probably hardly know who you are anyway, and just cash out and close the accounts. Move them to First Community Credit Union. Get yourself a brand new credit card, debit card from First Community, new checks. And then you'll be one of us. You'll be a member like we are. In the matter of full disclosure, I will tell you that for each account you open, there is a $1 fee to be a member of First Community Credit Union. I know. That'll probably scare some of the FM DJs away, but we're fine. We'll be fine without them. First Community Credit Union has 40 locations. It is the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And anybody listening can do your banking there. And I'd like for you to consider that. That's all we're asking. And I also want you to be sure, any chance you get, to thank them for sponsoring the yard sale on Saturday morning, because that's the exclusive sponsor with Paul Warner every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock. First Community Credit Union, everything you want or need from a banking facility, they have, and more. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com.
Would you like to hear about this?
Yes, I want to hear about it.
Okay, a listener, Mark Kreutzer, for some reason he said when he saw this, he thought of us and the show.
Hmm.
There's a company that you can buy, you know, the planet game we played earlier.
Name that planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can buy a set of 3 chocolate planets. They're chocolate shaped.
Chocolate shaped?
Yes.
What's the shape of chocolate?
Of the planet game that we play, but it's actually a body part. You can send...
Well, they're not chocolate-shaped. They're body part-shaped.
Yes, they're this particular. Yeah, the article says chocolate shape, but it says chocolate shape blunt holes. That's what.
Whoa!
And so you can send that to your significant other for Valentine's
How
Day.
How romantic! Here's a chocolate blank hole.
The website is edible, and that medical term for the anus, edibleanus.com. That's the website, and it's not actually molded, but also on that site you can get. There's this guy, what's his name here? Magnus Irvin. He will cast that body part.
His body part.
And no, yours. You can go to this guy, and he will through with some gel.
You've got to be kidding
me. Alginate gel.
He'll do your own.
He will mold it of your particular one, and then he'll cast it in bronze.
Well, who would do that?
There's a video here of some
Kim Kardashian,
some woman
of your
butt. Going through the process here.
So you can send somebody a bronze replica
bronze,
of your butt.
Yes.
Bronze replica of your butt.
It's, he charges over $1,900 for
that's a good
bronze
deal.
Mold.
No, that's not bad.
That's cheap, man.
Yes. So anybody looking for a unique gift?
Is this separate from the chocolate blank hole or same company?
Yes, yes. This is all separate.
Two separate things.
But if you want, I guess they're just generic things in this. But it's a set of three. It looks like there's milk chocolate, white chocolate, and dark chocolate.
Well, hold on. Are
they $39.95?
Are they chocolate like a set of buttocks, or is it just like
no,
a donut?
No, just the it looks like
a donut.
Just the area.
Looks like, just the specific area.
Why? Yes. Who would want that? That's disgusting.
I don't know.
That's an exit only thing.
You're not. It's chocolate.
You're eating it. It's chocolate.
But for some reason, when I click on it, it says it's not available. You cannot access the store from your country. We apologize for the inconvenience. So, apparently, if you're in the United States, you cannot order this.
Just when
I was interested and I wanted to do it, and
Belgium,
I can't do it.
Yes.
I wanted some chocolate blank holes, and I can't
block
them.
Yes.
It's always the way.
I know.
This United States, I'll tell you. Can't get any of the good stuff.
So thank
here.
You, Mark. I don't know why he said he thought of us when he saw that.
Probably really
product.
Thought of Dan, but he didn't want to single him out, so he said all of us. Probably Dan.
Yeah.
They're still paying out people from this Bernie Madoff financial disaster. If you remember, this guy's in prison, by the way, for 150 years. He's going to be very old when he gets out. $20 billion, this guy was able to accumulate. And remember, Kevin Bacon was one of the people that lost tremendous, they wouldn't say how much, but a lot of money to this scumbag.
Didn't his son commit suicide
yes.
or something, too?
Yes.
Who, Madoff's son?
Because he was involved with it, too.
Yeah, the other son's going to prison or went to prison. And they're saying that they're still making payments. As they discover and can retrieve some of this money in these funds, they just now made another round of payments. And what I found was interesting was, you know, they find these people who were scammed by this guy and go, okay, here's what we've been able to get for you from that fund you were in. It says in this last round of payments, and I guess this is for, maybe this is of all the payments made. It said the smallest was a check for $431 to somebody. The largest check to somebody was $67 million.
Whoa.
So it's obvious that some people lost a lot of money. Powerball, tonight's a drawing, right?
Yes.
$500 million. I don't want to do what everybody else does. Let's go around the room and say, what'd you do with that money? It's ridiculous.
It's so
what would I do? I would call Mark and Jason first.
Yeah, we said we're not doing
it. Yeah.
Oh.
I would do everything. How about that? Just
I do whatever I wanted.
Anything I wanted.
There's your answer. Anything I wanted to do. That's what I do. I don't know why I like this, but I do. Cottage cheese. I've gotten to where now as a kid.
I do too.
As a kid, I would not touch cottage cheese, and I can't explain it because one, I don't know what it is, and two, it doesn't have any real taste.
It looks repulsive.
I like cottage
cheese.
I like it. It's not spoiled. It's not sour.
Oh, I
know, but it looks. I can't get past the look of it.
What I discovered, some guy when I worked at Sambo's a long time ago, this cook would make an omelet and a cheese omelet, and then he would put a couple of scoops of cottage cheese on top of it.
I've heard of that.
It's tremendous. And I like cottage cheese, but I don't like it with peaches. I like it with tomatoes.
Okay. I like to put something in it, grapes, orange slices or something, but I'll just eat it plain. I'll open it up and eat it out of the cup like ice cream.
I'm with you.
I don't think it has much taste, but there's something about the texture that I like.
It looks curdled, and it looks like spoiled milk.
I know. Maybe it is. I don't even know what it is, but it doesn't smell bad, and I don't know. I like it. And it's weird. It's one of those things as a kid, I would not even touch it.
I was like that with sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. It's like black olives.
Same thing.
Everybody in my family loves black olives, but I
didn't like them until I grew up, and now I like black olives. I don't know. When you're a kid, you just shut some things out, and later you go, well, I'll try one of those. Maybe it's not too bad. Speaking of this Mars thing, we talked about it earlier. In the United States, we have 30,000 people who filled out the applications to go to Mars, and I just thought I would share some of what makes me find it impossible to understand why anybody would volunteer to do this. First of all, the trip to Mars is going to take, now this is time in the little craft, 9 months.
Good grief.
Not the same amount of time the average astronaut spends on the space station. It says that once the people get there in super high-tech spacesuits to protect themselves against massive dust storms and sub-freezing temperatures, there'll be tons of freeze-dried food, which will already have been dropped. 44,000 pounds of supplies. I guess that's to last you the rest of your life. You're not coming back. Housing pods to shield them against radiation. A huge drill for them to unlock frozen water from beneath the Mars surface. Again, who would want to do this? And then it says it takes a certain kind of person to choose to live the rest of your life stranded on a desert planet with no breathable air. Well, yeah, no kidding. It takes a certain type of person.
Well, I mean, look at the people that go over to Syria or Afghanistan or
They're trying to do good. I sort of get that, and I sort of don't. I'm all for doing good, but not if you're going to cut my head off.
But who in the heck are you going to talk to about that? Oh, yeah, when I was on Mars.
Each other.
Yeah, that's it.
Man, I wish I could tell Mary about this. This is fantastic. My sister wait, I can't. We can't get email back.
You go knock on somebody's pod.
The mission will cost $6 billion. Okay, now, the way they're going to pay for it, Mars One, I think, is the craft. Orion is the company. They're going to have sponsors and media who will pay for the broadcast rights of documentaries from everything from the training of the people before they leave to their departure to hopefully by then they'll figure out how to send back video of them living on Mars. They're going to select 40 people from multiple continents this year. Four of them, two men and two women, are set to leave for Mars in September of 2022. Now, that's not that far away. Landing in April of 2023.
Wow.
One-way ticket. You can't come back. You're not coming back. It says the astronauts will undergo required, oh, my goodness, 8-year training course. They'll learn how to repair habitat structures, grow vegetables in confined spaces, and address routine and serious medical issues such as dental upkeep, muscle tears, and bone fractures because, oh, yeah, there's no hospital on Mars. And they say no sex the whole time you're there.
What?
Why?
Because they don't want anybody conceiving a child because they're not equipped to people have children on Mars.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. You're not supposed to get pregnant. They will, it says, each lander that they send will carry 5,511 pounds of useful load. That's what you call anything that's inside an aircraft. After 8 missions, they'll have 44,000 pounds of supplies, and then the people arrive. Food and solar panels will go in the capsules. It says, we won't be sending much water or oxygen. They'll have to be manufactured on Mars. The people who live there will filter Martian water from the soil. They'll evaporate it and condense it back into liquid. This is way too much work from the water, then they can make hydrogen and oxygen, and they'll use the oxygen for a breathing atmosphere inside the pod. No, thank you. I'll not be doing that. Not interested. Now, I have huge news. If you've listened for many, many years, I have told you, for as long as I've been on, I'm a guy that thinks if you wait long enough, everything they told you was bad is, oops, it's not so bad, maybe it's good. Everything they told you was good, oh, maybe it's not so good, it's bad. Especially with the stuff that's bad for you. Check this out. Just released major study, combined research for the United Kingdom and the U.S. governments, have decided that this whole business about not eating butter or drinking whole milk is absolute nonsense. It says that there was flawed dietary advice from flawed studies, and I'll read you what it says. Guidelines that told millions of people to avoid butter and full-fat milk should never have been introduced to the public.
So your wife, doesn't your wife buy skim milk?
No, because I won't drink it, and I made her stop it. She's on
to almond milk or something.
Oh, soy, almond.
Oh, that's soy almond.
I drink
stuff.
Milk. It says the startling assertion challenges advice that has been followed by the medical profession for 30 years. And they say advice from 83 aimed at reducing deaths from heart disease lacked any real solid trial evidence to back it up. And these scientists are saying, basically, eat cheese, eat butter, drink whole milk.
Cheese.
That's right, Rat Boy. And cream. Hallelujah. There you go. And we just take, you know, if we see a story or read it, we just go, well, okay, I can't eat gluten.
Yeah,
and remember the gluten story?
Oh,
90%
yes.
of people who think that they've got an issue with gluten don't have any issue with it. It doesn't hurt them at all.
Didn't they come out and say, finally, that bacon is good for you?
Of course it is. Of course it is. Look at me. I eat bacon. Look how healthy I am.
Yeah.
Look how good looking I am. That's bacon, buddy. And then this story out of New Jersey, and I saw this yesterday on the news, and this is the difference between America now and America when I was a kid, or even Peon was a kid. See these two kids that got in trouble for shoveling snow for the neighbors?
No.
Matt Molinari and Eric Schnepf. They're 18 years old. They live in Bound Brook, New Jersey. January 27th, they went door to door in the neighborhood handing out homemade flyers saying, we will shovel your snow. They got a couple of snow shovels. School had been canceled. So these two 18-year-olds wanted to work and earn money. And, of course, they're charging for it. And they had rates, what they charge for different size driveways.
They say they need a permit or something?
They shut them down because the cops told them they're not allowed to solicit business door-to-door without a permit. Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, I cut grass when I was 15, and I cut hundreds and hundreds of yards. I didn't need a permit, and that's what you wanted kids to do, is be innovative and creative and be an entrepreneur and think of ways to make money. You know, I cut grass.
Ridiculous.
I sold the drink bottles when they were 2 cents a piece. Now a kid has to have a permit to do that.
And we did that. We would shovel driveways, too, and they give us five or
And I get it if you're selling food at a food stand or lemonade. You can hurt somebody. You're shoveling snow. How are you going to hurt the resident if you're shoveling the driveway? I mean, what's the harm in that?
That's crazy.
So they had to stop. This is, you know, everything that used to be taught, meaning here's what you should do if you're an enterprise, now you really can't do because there's just too much red tape, and you might as well sit at home, boys, and play video games. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
One of the truly Hall of Fame jokes in our stable of jokes, and the one we only tell once a year, you won't hear it again until next winter. And it's the story of I don't know how to describe him. He's not an Eskimo. He's a recluse. He's up in the Arctic Circle where it's colder than cold. And he's been there since a boy. He's never been into a town or village. Picture a cabin, and when you look out, all you can see for as far as you can see is flat ground covered in snow, like a desert of snow. And it seems to go on forever. But it doesn't, because 100 miles away, there is a little town, but this guy's never seen it. He's a cabin-dwelling, walrus blubber-eating, living by candlelight, hermit in the cold, and he has a huge beard. He's never shaved. He's in his 30s. He has heavy clothing. He has fuel for his snowmobile that he gets around on delivered out to where he lives. He's never been into town. All his supplies are either dropped from a supplier by a helicopter or they're brought out to him. He doesn't go to town. He's very independent. It's him, his dogs, his sled, his snowmobile, and his living off the land. He fishes, ice fishes. Snowmobile is everything to him, and he's become very self-sufficient. He works on everything himself, including a snowmobile, but now for some reason he cannot get the snowmobile running right. It's sputtering and smoking and barely running, and now he's in trouble. Whatever it is, it's beyond his capability. He can't fix it, so he's going to have to go to town, hoping the snowmobile will sputter its way and make it 50 miles to town. So he loads on some extra fuel onto the snowmobile. He says he's built special carriers. He can put supplies on it. And off he heads for the town he's never seen. He knows the direction. And off he goes. That's the snowmobile sound. Thank you. And heads into town. And it's smoking, black smoke. It cuts out and quits a few times. He gets it restarted and goes in. And finally he looks up, and there's the village. And just as he pulls the snowmobile into town, it dies. He just made it. In fact, he has to push it from that point up to a sign he sees that says snowmobile repair. Perfect. He pushes it up there. The guy comes out and says, can I help you? He says, yes. He says, I've come a long way. And my snowmobile just finally gave out. It barely made it here. Would you take a look at it? I usually can fix it myself. I don't know what's wrong. See if you can see what's going on. The guy says, well, I can get to it in about an hour. Why don't you go across the street there to the cafe and wait. I'll come over and tell you what I discover, what I decide. And the old grizzly bearded Eskimo-looking guy, except Eskimos don't have beards, in his furred parka, says, what cafe, what is that? The guy says, cafe. A cafe, where you go, and what do you mean? What's he says, you don't understand. I've never been to town. I don't. He says, right across the street, C-A-F-E, that's a cafe. Just go over there. Go in there, and they'll get you something to eat. And I'll be over in an hour after I look at the snowmobile. So he walks in there. He's looking around. He's never been in town, and he sits down, a waitress comes over and says, would you like a menu? He says, what's that? She said, what's what? He said, what's a menu? She says, are you serious? He goes, no, I live off the land, and I've never been to town. I've never been to one of these, cafes. What's a menu? She says, a menu is something that tells you what we have to serve you to eat. And the grizzly, bearded, weathered guy looks over and sees a kid eating a bowl of vanilla ice cream, and he says, what is that that kid's eating? She says, well, it's ice cream. You don't know what ice cream is? He says, no. She says, would you like to try it? He goes, yeah, looks good. She says, now it comes in flavors. Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. He says, well, what's that kid eating? She said, he's eating vanilla ice cream. He says, I'd like to try that. So she brings it over to him in a bowl. Now understand, this guy eats raw fish with his bare hands. He has no etiquette. So he just starts eating this ice cream with his hands, and he's shoving it in his mouth, and he's got ice cream all in his beard, dripping down his beard. He's good. He's enjoying this. So while he's shoving this ice cream in his heavily bearded face, and the ice cream is clinging to his beard and dripping down, in walks the snowmobile repairman. And he walks up to him and slaps him on the shoulder and says, well, partner. And the guy turns around to look at the snowmobile repairman. And the snowmobile repairman says, looks like you blew a seal. He says, no, this is ice cream. Somebody was AWOL yesterday, remember?
Yeah.
We did our job. We called. We called. We called. We called again. And
sure!
Hey, you sure?
You sure?
Hey, I haven't introduced you yet. You can't talk. You're in trouble anyway. You're in timeout, so hang on. from Southern California. He's with us today. That's good. Mike Evans, brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. They are right next door to each other. If you're facing them, Annie Gunn's is on the left and the Smokehouse is on the right. Please go in both of them, because I guarantee you, you've never been in any restaurant or market quite like either one of these. Gift cards, always a good idea. I know most people don't think about, except the holiday period, but think about it. Anytime you want to say thank you for something, congratulations about something, happy birthday, whatever, welcome to the neighborhood, gift card from Annie Gunn's or the Smokehouse. Ladies and gentlemen, no longer AWOL, here he is, Mike Evans.
Give it up.
Would you like to explain to people why you were unreachable?
I just tried to take care of my business.
Oh, you were taking care of your business. Okay.
I was sick. And I mean, I'm pain. And yesterday I think I did too much. I actually got up and ended up laying down and just passed out.
Now, when you say did too much, like did what?
I got in a car and went to the store.
Don't you have a wife?
She works.
Yeah.
So
the
what?
Heck?
When the man of the house is sick,
I think I overdid it. But you know what? My chiropractor came back today. I had another treatment. I don't know if I should be saying this, but I almost feel completely back to normal again.
Well, that's good.
The pain is completely gone from my back. So he told me, he goes, when those muscles get to the point where they relax and let up. And let go of that nerve, the pain will be gone immediately. And that's sort of the way I feel. I'm kind of afraid it's going to come back, but I'm feeling good right now. I've had a couple glasses of wine,
Maybe that's why you feel good, the wine.
I was feeling good before I had the wine.
What did you have for dinner? Did your wife make dinner?
No, I make dinner. Made a little chef salad.
Again?
Roasted chicken, and making a little... pilaf rice.
Mike, when my wife worked, and sometimes she worked long hours, she would call and say, I'm going to be working until about 8 o'clock. I said, well, then I guess you won't be able to have dinner ready till 9. I'll be hungry and still waiting. That's what I used to say to her. Sometimes she'd have to get up early. She said, I got to get up real early tomorrow. I'm leaving. She was a travel agent, and I have to leave town. We're going on a familiarization tour. They want us to see a cruise ship, and my flight's at 4. I said, well, then I guess you'll be cooking breakfast for me at 2 o'clock in the morning. You better get some sleep.
Man.
That's how it works in my house. That's how it's always worked. Yeah.
He's telling me about you having to cook breakfast early in the morning.
See, he's acting like he's talking to my
wife. Thank you. We'll be here all week.
Impossible. Yeah. All right. What do you got for us?
Pop quiz question. Name the name of the Hollywood tough guy who has a legal permit to carry a concealed loaded gun in every state. Clint Eastwood. Steven Seagal. Bruce Willis. Val Kilmer. Answer in a minute. Whitney Houston died 3 years ago today. They were supposed to. Reportedly, it was rumored that the Houston and Brown family would take Bobby Christina off life support, and doctors said that she would expire shortly thereafter. That did not happen today. Meanwhile, the criminal investigation continues. Stay tuned. Love Nuggets! Despite what they say, Jennifer Lopez and Casper Smart, they're back together. They're goofy. Never show up at the same place at the same time, but throughout the weeks you see them, you know, sitting together at restaurants or at a nightclub or at a concert, and then they leave separately, but then paparazzi report, they show up at each other's house to spend the night.
No, I'm so glad to hear that. I was so worried about this.
I know
kids.
You were.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
I don't care about her.
Dating Irish singer Hozier.
Hozier?
Yeah.
Hozier Hernandez here?
No. 26 years old. Apparently, he's a pretty serious. Hozier got a Grammy. Don't be laughing at Hozier.
Isn't that the, is that the band that, or the guy that did,
Hey, you Hozier.
Church.
Hey, you Hozier.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Take off, eh? You Hozier?
No, that's not the same one.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, don't try to start that stuff with me, eh? While Hannah Davis.
I don't know who that is.
Is riding high as the new Sports Illustrated cover girl.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Word is that her long relationship with Derek Jeter is not as hot as it used to be.
I hate to hear that.
Odds and ends, how can Ryan Seacrest blast the tabloids saying that their articles about Bruce Jenner's transformation are just not right. They have no business making money on it. However,
and there's always a however in life.
Ryan Seacrest is a producer of Bruce Jenner's new TV show. He's making a fortune on it.
Hypocrite.
Exactly. When pictures of Kanye West and Paul McCartney came out, along with a press release that they were going to be recording some songs together, Kanye says that his social media was just exploded, bombarded by fans who wanted to know, who's the old white guy? Is there a generation gap here, you think?
Who said that, Kanye?
About Paul McCartney. Yeah,
Paul first McCartney. Of all, I don't believe that. Yeah.
His fans, 16, 17, 18-year-old fans, wrote in, wanted to know who the white guy was he was pictured with.
He might have had one person write in. I don't even believe that.
No, I totally believe it.
Okay.
A listener sent me his own headline, because I do New York Post headlines, and I thought it was good enough, made the cut. After hearing Bruce Jenner's automobile accident, the listener's headline screamed, Bruce Jenner, a transgender and a fender bender.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's good.
I don't think that was bad. Do you, Frank?
No.
No, that's why I said it's good.
No. Dayton history, February 11th, 1990. One of the greatest men who ever lived was let out of prison. When I was doing mornings at K-Rock in Los Angeles, we used to have this Wednesday night protest we used to go to, and we used to sing, Free Nelson Mandela.
You had a good voice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I was on this date. 1990, Nelson Mandela was released after 28 years of solitary confinement.
Wow.
And Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
She's been changing her birthday on some websites that she's 36. No, she's 46 years old today.
She could pass for 36.
Have you seen her breasts yet?
I don't know that I have.
Okay. I'll start seeing a picture of her breasts.
Okay.
And finally.
Notice I didn't refuse that.
I know. Name the name of the Hollywood tough guy that has a legal permit to carry a concealed gun in every state. Clint Eastwood, Steven Seagal, Bruce Willis, Val Kilmer. Come on.
Now, maybe every state, but not the city of Chicago.
Talk to your daddy.
Man, I'll try Bruce Willis.
I'll say Clint Eastwood.
Who were the other two?
Seagal and...
Spielberg. And Seagal and
I'm
going to
go the least likely.
Val Kilmer.
I'll go the least likely, Kilmer.
So what are your answers?
Kilmer,
Eastwood,
and Bruce Willis.
Oh, you stupid ignorant. Uh-oh. Answer is Steven Seagal.
Oh.
Hey, I'm not giving up Hollywood Frank.
What's happened to him lately, Seagal?
I don't know.
I mean, he used to do all those goofy, horrible movies where he's a horrible actor. Mike Evans, not AWOL any longer, and... didn't seem too apologetic, did he? Or sorry,
nope.
He wasn't not with us yesterday. Brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant, the Smokehouse Market in Chesterfield Valley. You can't miss them. You go to the eastern end of all that stuff, and there they are on the south side of Highway 40. Schaefer, there's a listener who called the main station number, apparently, and left a message on a recording about how ecstatic he was over Schaefer. For me, I don't access that. They won't let me listen to the station recording system. So, sir, I'm thrilled that you're happy with Schaefer. If you ever want to let me know that, all you have to do is email me, frankopinion@yahoo.com. Now, if you don't have email, I'm assuming you do, I don't know what to tell you, except you could leave a note with your name on it so I can acknowledge you at the front desk. Front desk closes at 4, but thank you for the message. I'm glad you had a great experience with Schaefer, and that's the only time I've heard that. I've heard it for years and years and years. They've been on with us for almost since the very beginning, like 16, 17 years. We'll be 18 this summer. Can you believe that? 18 years here, and Schaefer's been... for pretty much the whole ride. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. 8 locations. They're now in Illinois. O'Fallon, Illinois. I defy you to take your car, your vehicle, anywhere and find better work, better service, more perfection than you'll get from Schaefer. Again, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. Tell your insurance company this vehicle goes to Schaefer Auto Body Center.